tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. Thank you very much for returning. Thank you for all you guys who've listened since the first day of my podcast, which was way, way back in the year of our Lord 2017, back in February. Today we're going to talk about fasting and some of the reasons why you should be intermittently fasting. This is actually going to be a two-part podcast series. Today we're just going to talk about some of the medical reasons why you should fast, and then the next one will be about different ways you can fast. So before we begin, you can find me at www.naturopathicearth.com, N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, earth.com. You can find me on Instagram at naturopathic_earth, and you can find me on Twitter at naturopathearth, and you can also find me on Facebook at naturopathearth. Miss Kate McCall is back from her Utah trip, her trip to the West, and so now that she's back, she's going to be working on our Facebook page because it looks pretty derelict because I haven't done much with it because I've only been on Facebook since February. I was never really big into social media before 2017, so she's better at that. So she'll be posting more stuff. Also, her first Naturopathic Essential podcast will probably be released next week, and it's going to be on lavender. She's going to have her own series on that, so please listen to that. She is a certified aromatherapist and herbalist, so she will talk about those things. That is her forte. Forte means strong in Latin. I didn't know that until I was in choir a couple years back. I thought it'd be fun to be in my church choir, and I saw the word forte in the notes, and I never learned how to read music, so I asked Wally, who was the other baritone, I'm like, what is forte? I thought that was just like, I thought that was a guy's last name, like the running back Matt Forte, who played with the Bears and then the Jets. He's like, no, that means strong. I go, oh, okay. Didn't know that. But I guess it makes sense because forte, we use the term forte, that's your strength. Regardless, I am a primal health coach. Primal is similar to paleo, not identical to it. They do have different views on, for example, like legumes and dairy and some other things. But I am a certified health coach. As you guys know, I've lost 100 pounds and kept it off for over 25 years. So if any of you are tired of yo-yo dieting or you just want to try something new, give me a shot. My prices are on the website. Contact me and I can help you. If not, just keep listening. Keep listening. So today we're going to talk about fasting, intermittent fasting. This is something, honestly, that I have been doing for about 3 years. I think I found out about it through Revolution Health Radio, maybe? Chris Kresser, maybe he was the first I heard about it. Or maybe it was Dave Asprey. Maybe it was Mark Sisson. You know, who knows? I don't even remember. But since then, I have not eaten before 1 o'clock any day since 2014. I think it's Thanksgiving of 2014. And I feel great. It's great. I love it. But we'll really talk about that on the next podcast. So intermittent fasting is essentially not eating for a certain amount of time. Now, how long that is really determined on you. It can be as short as waking up and eating breakfast because theoretically you are on a 10 to 12 hour fast when you wake up. That's where we get the term breakfast, right? You broke your fast. Or it can range if you're doing a daily IF, it could be 14 hours, 16 hours, 20 hours, 22 hours. You can do a 24-hour fast. You can do several fasts. So it's really up to you. Now, a lot of people think that fasting is something new, but really we've been doing this since the beginning of time. Our Paleolithic ancestors went numerous days without eating. Yeah, they were kind of a feast-famine kind of gig that they had going on, foresting and hunting. And there were times and lean times when there was, a pestilence that came through the area that they lived where everything was dying. And so they had to go many days without fasting. So our body is fasted adapted. You can look at different religions that have adapted fasting. The Buddhists, for example, are renowned for fasting. The monks, also in Catholicism, especially old school Catholicism, they would fast every Friday. You know, we think of fasting in Lent, but really Catholics were supposed to fast every Friday. And then that changed after the Second Vatican Council in the 60s. Muslims fast during Ramadan. They can't eat during the day. And Mormons, for example, they do a once a month fast. So there are religions that have practiced fasting. If you read the Old Testament, for example, there are many prophets that exhort or urge people to fast as a form of repentance and getting closer to God and reaching out to God. It was fasting. It cleansed your body. So those are some religious reasons to do it. But let's talk about some non-religious reasons, all right? So one is caloric efficiency. So essentially, fasting promotes caloric efficiency, meaning the body learns to do more with less. And as such, the body learns to need less calories to perform the same tasks as before. This leads to a more efficient, optimized body. So the body learns to do more with less. And caloric efficiency is important because the older you get, if you want to live a long time and have quality of life, you need to cut your calories. So your body becomes more efficient with the calories it is getting. So a 75-year-old woman cannot be eating what she was eating when she was 30. Naturally, you just eat less calories, and that is normal. So that's one of the reasons. Fat loss, this is probably one of the major reasons. And I am, of course, gleaning this from my article that I wrote on Naturopathic Earth, but I'm also just kind of ad-libbing as I go. Fat loss is probably one of the most common reasons why people fast, and I think it's one of the reasons, along with improved workouts. Like if you just Google fasting or go on YouTube and fast, you'll typically see these muscle-bound guys, and they're talking about fasting. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is possible to fast and maintain your muscle. I would probably disagree with people who think you can gain muscle while fasting. It is difficult. But let's talk about fat loss. I've mentioned this on several previous MP radio podcasts about how the body uses carbohydrates as the primary fuel. So when we eat, the body metabolizes the food and the pancreas releases insulin to allow the excess glucose in our blood to be stored in our organs and muscles. The leftover glucose is sent to the liver to be stored as glycogen. But afterwards, excess glucose is turned into fat through insulin. So when you're eating every 4 to 6 hours, the cycle is repeated, and thus it's ever difficult to tap into your fat reserves, your adipose fat reserves, to melt it off. But when your body's fasting, it's different. What it'll do is initially consume all the glucose storage in the liver and wherever it's stored up, and then it's going to turn to the fat because the body has the ability to turn fat into fuel, into essentially like a pseudo-carb, and we call those ketones. So the body's going to tap into the fat reserves to burn it as energy. So when you're fasting, it reaches a certain point. Everyone's different depending on how fasting adapted you are. But there'll be a point where the body's like, oh, damn, there's no more glucose. What am I going to do? Oh, yeah, let's just go to the fat. And again, the body's been doing this since the beginning of mankind. So it's going to go into your fat reserves, use it as energy. And as such, you will burn off some of your fat reserves. You will burn it off. So the body needs a very small amount of carbs to maintain itself, maybe 50 grams or less. And I mean, this is the classic definition of ketogenic. If you're under 50 grams or less, it's officially a ketogenic diet. But it's important to know that this is a way to lose weight. I think I did answer that question back in the first Q&A, or the only Q&A we've had so far, from the gentleman, or I guess it was Savannah, I think was her name, and her father was morbidly overweight. And she asked, what are some ways you can lose weight? Typically, fasting is going to make you lose weight. Now, everybody's different. But if done properly, fasting will help you burn fat quickly. Increased cognition is another one. I've mentioned many times that when you're on a carb-heavy diet, you typically have brain fog. Brain fog is like inability to pull up memory very quickly. You're having a lot of spikes and crashes throughout the day. You have decreased cognition, so you don't recognize things as well. Lack of concentration. And this is very common in people that have a high carb diet. And so the brain gets kind of sluggish. Maybe it's because you have so much sugar in your blood, the blood almost becomes like molasses as it's getting through the brain. The brain is one of the most vascular organs in the body. And so a lot of blood goes up there. And it makes sense that the neurons and the glial cells that support the neurons would work better if they're getting more blood and less carbs. So really the brain revs on a high octane fuel, which is a type of ketogenic ketone fuel diet. So when you're fasting, you're essentially in a ketogenic state. And the brain will make essentially brain-deprived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. And BDNF activates brain cell stems to convert into new neurons and trigger other chemicals that promote neural health. Now, if you think of the movies like Limitless with Bradley Cooper or even Scarlett Johansson from the movie Lucy, those are, of course, exaggerations. It's hyperbole. But my point is that if any of you become fasted adapted, and it does take some time, and we'll talk about this in the next podcast, you do get this mental clarity that you're on this, like, your mind is on this high, and you just speak so much clearer. You have this energy and you're just this mental alacrity that you have that will just astonish you. It is just astonishing how well your brain works when you are fasting. It's just like a brain high. It's literally like a brain high. So that's definitely one of the best things about that. They've done a couple of studies in which they shot up rats with BDNF, which makes new neurons. And it shows that when they did that, and I tell you that's a byproduct of being fasting. When you're fasting, the brain releases more of that, that it increased brain function among rats. So, you know, not to say there's always a correlation between animal studies and human studies, but I mean, that is something to be said, because overall fasting reduces oxidative stress and inflammation overall in the body. So that would play a role in the brain. And also, since it reduces inflammation, it probably lowers the chances of having a stroke. Also, there are some correlations that fasting is great for Alzheimer's disease. Ketogenic, and now I'm not going to say that fasting and ketogenic are the same, but fasting kind of puts your body in a ketogenic state. But they've been using a ketogenic diet to treat people with dementia, and in particular epilepsy with seizures, for over 100 years. I mean, that's how we found out about fasting and ketogenic, is that people who had seizures, they noticed that when they gave them a high-fat diet or they put them on fasting, that they had less seizures. So there's been a couple of rat studies showing that fasting delayed the onset of Alzheimer's or reduced its severity. So that's great. So if you know anybody that, and also for the other dementia kind of umbrella diseases like Huntington's and Parkinson's, a lot of those neurodegenerative diseases. So there's some studies that show that, at least animal studies that show that fasting may protect or delay the onset of those things. So if you know anybody who is having cognitive problems, depending, you know, how old they are, definitely try to get them to fast. Again, there's really no harm in fasting. There's no harm at all. One of the great misconceptions about fasting is that it, in fact, slows down your metabolism. And this is kind of an old belief that we've had for a long time, that, oh, you got to eat, you know, every 4 hours because your metabolism slowed down. And that's, in fact, not true. That's not, and it's metabolically not true. Again, going back to evolution here, we were never popping in food every 1 or 2 hours. Our body's not really adapted to that. Similar to like eating grains or having dairy or all this processed food and wheat. Our body is not equipped. Now, can our body handle it? Yeah, but our body is not equipped. We've only been eating grains for about 10,000 years, and we've been around hundreds of thousands of years before that, depending on when you believe, you know, we came from the ancestors. So our body is much more equipped than that. So actually, fasting or not eating often is much more in tune with the way our body actually is. It really is. All right. So let's talk about workouts. If any of you fast, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it makes complete sense. Think about it. If you're eating every 4 to 6 hours, where does the food go? It goes to your intestines for absorption. So your blood's got to go down there to the mesenteric arteries to help break down the food, for the microvilli to help break down the food and send all the nutrients to the liver. So when you have increased blood to your liver or into your intestines, your digestive system, that's less blood that's going to be in your muscles. So if you apply that even further, let's say you wake up and you do your morning workout. You've already been fasting for 12 hours. Let's say you do a workout at noon and you've been fasting 16 hours. All your blood can be directly shunted to your skeletal muscles, and there won't be any need to shunt blood to your intestines. So that, and you won't have a sugar crash. Also, when you work out, when you're fasting, you'll have a release of all the adaptive hormones, such as growth hormone, testosterone, cortisol, adrenaline, all of which are beneficial to the body. Cortisol and adrenaline are beneficial to the body in short amounts. We don't like to have too much cortisol. You don't want your adrenals burning out. That's why stress is bad for you. So, but all the other adaptive hormones are all released. So workouts, trust me, guys, if you ever go IF, you ever start fasting, you will notice your workouts will be the best when you're all Bradley Cooper limitless. You'll have increased cognition and your workout times will be great. Because you're like, oh, I got a carb load. No, you don't need to carb load, guys. You don't need to carb load. That is the old fallacy of calorie in, calorie out, and chronic cardio. You don't need to do that. So if any of you still doing marathon running, which is not recommended, you don't need to be eating all this pasta beforehand. If you're fasting adapted, just go in normally. I mean, of course, stay hydrated, but you don't need to be doing any of that. Take some electrolytes, but don't drink Gatorade, of course, because you know Gatorade wants you to think that's the only way you get electrolytes. Long-term, one of the other benefits of IFing is reduced inflammation and aging. So it's similar to why sleep's good for you, right? Sleep's good for you because it allows the body to recover from a strenuous day and recalibrate the hormones. Fasting's no different. When you're not eating and metabolizing and breaking down food, all that takes a toll on your body. This is why a lot of people believe that juice cleanses are great for your intestines, because it allows the intestines to rest. Well, it's kind of similar with fasting. When you're fasting, it's like the body can readjust itself. The endocrine system, the hormones, can recalibrate themselves and allow the digestive organs to rest. So in a fasting state, your cells actually flourish. They undergo a process called autophagy or autophagy. And autophagy is when cells eliminate damaged cellular matter. So throughout the day, you know, there's wear and tear that your cells have, keeping us functioning. And so by you doing autophagy, the cells do autophagy, they kind of protect the body against oxidative stress and inflammation. And these are good things. When calories are abundant, cells multiply freely. And you might be thinking, yeah, we want cells to multiply freely. And no, actually, we don't. We want our cells to stretch out their telomeres and not reproduce and not multiply freely. We don't want that. So when cells are deprived of calories, cells have to become more efficient. Think of a caloric efficiency, but they have to be more efficient on a cellular level with cellular respiration. And so they fix themselves. So during fasting, hormones responsible for growth, repair, and immune function are optimized since insulin levels are low. And we've talked about how insulin is not good for you. Fasting mitigates cell division, thus slows down aging. We don't want to age. And by slowing down cell division and those telomeres stretching out in the nucleus, this is great. This is great. So we don't want cell division. And when you don't do cell division, you're not going to age, and it helps reduce inflammation. Another reason, and this is important for men, and I've already mentioned this, is when you're fasting, you will have more free testosterone roaming around the body. Now, we've heard a lot about low T. You hear those commercials ad nauseum all the time. Do you suffer from low T? Are you losing body mass? Are you losing your libido? You know, you hear all these low T. Of course, they want you to do testosterone creams. But there are a lot of natural biohacks for men that have low testosterone. Actually, I had somebody contact me through Facebook Messenger about a month asking me about how to deal with andropause, which is kind of like the male version of menopause. And I just recommended some things. But one of the things that is recommended, that studies show, is that fasting increases the amount of free testosterone that's roaming around the body. You can also do this by HIIT training or high intensity interval training, sprinting, lifting very heavy things. Think of CrossFit. That also will reverse declining testosterone and actually make you have higher testosterone. So you can definitely do blood work to see what your testosterone is. If any of you men are feeling you're over the age of 40, when testosterone naturally lowers because we're not really needing as much of it, the older that we get, similar to women when they start losing estrogen when they go into perimenopause. If you're flabby, I mentioned malaise, decreased muscle mass, these are some things that you should look at. So increased testosterone. What guy does not want increased testosterone? So it's very, very important. All right. So another good thing is that it helps fight against cancer. We know that cancer is uncontrolled cell growth. And so I've mentioned that when you're eating more, your cells are going to grow and multiply and grow. It's like a ticking time bomb. You know, there's this cycle of cell life. Apoptosis is programmed cell death. So as new cells are being created, we have cells dying. Well, sometimes we have cells that grow and multiply at too fast of a rate, then the other cells are dying, and that's essentially what happens when we get cancer. Not all cancers. I mean, there are tumor growths. There's benign tumors, but overall, it leads to unregulated cell growth. So there's a lot of animal studies indicating that fasting helps prevent cancer because, again, it's all about slowing down cell reproduction. Okay. There's some studies showing that intermittent fasting is good for your heart. And we know along with cancer, heart disease is the world's biggest killer. Going back to cancer, it's 1 in 2 men are going to be diagnosed with it and 1 in 3 women. So some studies have been showing that fasting lowers your overall and LDL cholesterol levels, your triglyceride levels, your blood sugar levels, going back to diabetes. So these are all very, very promising things too, as well. Yeah. And especially for you diabetics, intermittent fasting can reduce insulin resistance. So it lowers your chances of getting type 2 diabetes. And man, down here in Texas, diabetes is a major problem. Type 2, you know, the lifestyle diabetes. And it's a problem because either insulin's not being made or the insulin isn't opening up the muscles and the organs to take in the blood sugar. Insulin's kind of seen as a key, which opens up these organs so blood sugar can go in. And when the insulin keys don't work, the insulin can't go in or the blood sugar can't go in to the organs. And so you have blood sugar levels that stay high in the body and insulin levels that stay high because the pancreas tries to make more and more insulin and it eventually starts burning itself out and you have the problem with all the blood sugar floating around. So there's been studies showing that intermittent fasting leads to an overall reduction in blood sugar levels, which is very important. So it's important that if you are diabetic, that you really should be fasting. You really should be fasting. I mean, there's been some other studies in showing rats, diabetic rats. The whole idea of diabetic rats is a little funny. But one of the problems that diabetics have, and one of my close friends has this problem, they have kidney damage where he's been on dialysis for years, like 10 years now. And that's one of the common side effects of having diabetes. But there's been some studies showing that fasting protects against kidney damage, which of course is one of the complications of diabetes. So that's another thing to consider. So as a whole, fasting's great, right? Fasting is great. Another thing, one of the last things before we finish up here, fasting can help you lose weight and belly fat. As I've already mentioned, it's going to tap into your fat reserves. It also messes with, I don't want to say messes, but it affects ghrelin, which is your hunger hormone. It affects leptin. These are hormones that have to do with your feeling of satiety. And so when you're fasting, you literally don't get hungry. And I'll mention this in the next podcast when I talk about my own personal experiences of what it feels like to go through the day. But honestly, I have not had hunger pangs in, I don't know when, year maybe. Even if I'm doing a 24, I don't feel hunger pangs anymore because the body is so adapted to that. So that's pretty much the end of this podcast. So overall, let's review. Fasting helps cell growth. It helps cell repair with autophagy. It makes you lose weight. It fights against cancer. It fights against heart disease. It helps with cognition, and who doesn't want to be smarter and feel smarter? It fights against the dementia illnesses. It makes you live longer. It makes your workouts better. So honestly, guys, why shouldn't we be all fasting? And it increases your testosterone, guys. So try fasting. Now, before you try fasting, listen to my next podcast, and I'll tell you some of the ways you can work your way into it, because I don't want you to just wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm going to do a four-day fast. Oh, God, please don't. Please don't do that. You will regret it. So like with a lot of things, you gotta start it slow, nice and slow. Let's get it on. And then you pick up the pace. All right, so that's all I got today. Listen to my podcast. Give me a review on iTunes. That'd be great. I would really appreciate it, guys. Okay, now I just started now. We got a full-time job. We got 8 kids between us. So anything you can do, if you want to subscribe to the newsletter, if you want to post a review, if you want to tag us on Facebook, whatever, that'd mean a lot to us, because again, this is a mom-pa business. We don't get paid for any of this. We're just spending our own time talking about it because it's a passion of ours. I used to be fat. I don't want you to be fat. I want you to keep your weight off. I want you to be healthier. And this is why I do it. This is why I put in my free time to do this. And I also like to talk, and I like to hear myself talk, as any of my students would tell you. But aside from that, take care. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.